It's not gonna be like this. Be like this. Yes. He won't perfect that concerning me. I can talk for me, but sooner or later, it's gonna turn in my favor. Sooner or later, you turn in my favor. See, this is that precipice. He said, if you will suffer with me for a while, if you will suffer with me for a while, then you can reign with me. Say, sooner or later. Come on, speaking it to your house. Say it right now, sooner or later. Hey, say, sooner or later. How many of you know that God is turning things around in your home right now, in your atmosphere? Say, sooner or later. You got to believe it from the depths of your heart. You got to believe it from your soul to say, hey, sooner or later. All he told me is to stand still and know that he's God. I know they shoot boys in the street. I know they shoot black men in the street. I know that it seems like the cops is going crazy. It seems like the country's going crazy. It seems like this is going nuts. It seems like the economy's going here and our jobs are here and our places are here. But he told me that sooner or later, hey, sooner or later, then he was going to turn in my favor. Hey, they don't know more sudden. That sooner or later, if I can stand still, if I can trust him, if I can hold out, that it's going to turn, it's going to turn, it's going to turn. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters of the Most High God, that it's already turning in our favor. If you would just look out there, he said that he sent them out there, and he said that, is there any clouds out there? He said, I can see the cloud the size of a man's hand, and that was a sign of rain. I'm here to tell you today that you don't have to see a whole lot, but all you got to do is see the size of a man's hand. All you got to do is see a cloud the size of a man's hand to know that God is turning it in our favor, that it is turning around. Some of you have already seen the turnaround. Some of you have already walked in the turnaround. But I'm here to tell you today that God has turned around for all of us. If we can stand still and know that he's God, if we can just hold out, I know this seems like trouble, but the Bible says that a weeping man endure for a night, but his joy comes in the morning. How many of you can hang around to the morning? I want to know, can you hang to the morning when his joy comes, when his peace comes, when his love comes? Can you be there in the morning when he comes in and like a flood and raises up a standard that the enemy won't come against us? Will you be there in the morning when he comes in and say, I have you? I'm not forsaken. I have seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. Will you be around to see the turnaround? For I know that what, and late in the midnight hour, it was Paul and Silas when they prayed and said all their chains were loose. Your chains are about to be loose. Can you believe him this morning? Can you exercise your faith to know that he is able to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad of each and everything we ask him to do? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, church. Welcome to the Safe House Church. Those who just joining us online, amen. Good morning. My name is Dr. Peter Healy, and I'm pastor of the Safe House Church here in the beautiful city of Greensboro, North Carolina, where God is good and he's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down to say he's so worthy to be praised. I'm just so glad to have so many of you all with us on this morning. I don't know about you all, but I'm pumped. I'm excited. No, just what? Because I have another day's journey, and I'm so glad. I'm just so grateful that God has allowed us to see yet another day. Amen. Y'all know that there was somebody here on last week that would desire to be here today that's not here. And that's not just cliche, but that is honest God, heaven, truth. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm just so excited. How many of you had a tremendous time in the conference last week? Put in the chat, tell somebody that I had a time in the conference. Put in the chat, if you put on the text, whatever, let somebody know. You know, we had a tremendous conference on last week. We were blessed to be a part of that space, to be in the first international virtual conference that Bishop T.D. Jakes threw. There was the pastors and leadership conference, amen. And we had set in our, on our spirit some time ago that my wife and I had desired to go. We was like, well, we was here in ministry, and we wanted to go. And see, God, like we just said, God has a way of working things. And we didn't know how this thing was going to work out, but we was looking at going. And I was telling my wife, I said, let's go. And we had already sacrificed and was planning to go. And at that particular time, and then we noticed something. we noticed that location was going to be in Charlotte. And we was like, oh my God, we go to Charlotte for hamburgers sometime. So we knew we would be able to make that conference. So we had planned a year in advance. We bought our tickets in August of 2019. August 2019, we had purposed that, you know, five of our leaders at the time of the Safe House Church, and we was going to go there to the pastors and leadership conference and allow somebody to pour into us. How many, you know, sometimes you got to be poured into, you know, you got to, you know, all these things that we give away, you got to have people what to deposit into you. Amen. This is how this thing works. God downloads to me and I deposit to you, and then you deposit it to somebody else. Forget this greedy stuff. You cannot be greedy with the Spirit of God. That's why I often tell you all, it's like having a candle that's lit. You know what? People can stick their candle inside of your, on your candle's flame, and your flame does not diminish. In fact, what happens is what? Your flame may flicker for a moment, but it does not get smaller. So you can share the word of God multiple times, and your flame does not go out. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? And so because of that, we were going, and then, you know, obviously the pandemic hit and they changed it. And Bishop Jake said they weren't going to cancel it, but they were merely going to postpone it. And they postponed it all the way to this year. Fast forward, we paid for five people to go initially. We were paying for five of our members to go initially. And they and the Safe House, not Safe House, but the Potter's House Church, to their credit, what they did was they opened up the conference for every person we had paid for, the five. They gave us a nine additional people. What that meant is that we got to allow 50 people to go for what we paid for five. Oh, come on, y'all act like that ain't a blessing. 50 people got to go for what we paid for five. Now, the truth of the matter is, y'all know we don't have 50 members. We don't. Amen. And so because of that, you know, God had laid upon my heart, I did not want to waste these spaces. So what we did is, anybody who's ever given to the Safe House Church, what we did is we wanted to be a blessing to them. Amen. We want to plant seeds in their garden. You don't know what seed is going to come up, when it's going to come up, and where it's going to come up, and what fruit that seed is going to bear. So what we did was we put it out there. We first started, you know, we do have a database because we do a lot of electronic giving. So I do have a database of, you know, those who give, amen. And we, you know, we try to make sure we send things out. And, you know, sometimes there are gifts that we give, also tax records and those who request them. So what we did is everybody who's ever given, we started there. Amen. We want to give back to those who've given to us. We want to be grateful in that space. And then outside of that, the ones we had left after that, what we did is we just posted it on social media and posted it in a couple of places and said, whoever wants to go can go. Whoever wants to go can go. And we had a number of people respond off social media that desired to go. And we put all of those in there, submitted all those names. Amen. And, you know, in the beginning, I know people started emailing me, like, hey, when we going to get it? When we going to get it? And I was like, hey, I'm waiting like you are. And we found out the night before, and many of them, it went to your spam mail. So I sent out another message to all the individuals on the list and said, check your spam mail. You know, that, you know, I guess if you had never gotten an email from them before, that that they wanted that. And that's how we came through. And I just see the things coming. Everybody's talking about it was amazing. It was a blessing. Thank you so much for making it possible. Amen. And I just want to thank this is the church. This is what Safe House do. Amen. This was no money out of Peter's pocket. This was the people of the Safe House Church. So we always, that's one of our things here at Safe House Church. We want to be a blessing, to be a blessing. Amen. God has blessed me tremendously. You know, everything that we have here goes right back into the Safe House Church. Those who work and support here know that, you know, I don't take a dime. What I do is I do because this is what I believe God has called me to do. And God is taking care of me financially. And I'm grateful for that. Amen. And I'm grateful to be in that position. And I'm glad I am. So therefore, everything can just be poured right back into growing this ministry, growing this church. Amen. And therefore, we had those resources. So, you know, it was just a, you know, a blessing. So I'm just blessed for the Safe House Church for doing that. But so many of you, you know, the things I've heard that you learned and all these things, and what you will do, you will get another email from me. Everybody who participates, you get another email from me asking, inviting you to a Zoom meeting. We want to have a Zoom debrief. Amen. I already said this. And then it was oddly enough that Bishop Jakes got on and said the same thing, that everybody should do that. And I had already planned to do that because I want to see what some of the takeaways, some of the things that maybe you're now inspired to do and inspired to go to the next level to help us with, amen. Because the Safe House Church, we're not going to be virtual much longer, amen. We're about to move back to our space, hallelujah. You know, we're about to get back on Sunday mornings, and we're trying to figure out some things, and I need your help. I cannot do it alone, amen. I cannot do it alone. I know many of you now have joined our ministry since the pandemic, amen. I think we've had, oh my goodness, don't give me, I think we had like eight people join the church since the pandemic. That's a blessing. Growing in a pandemic online, We have 8 people that I've not physically touched that now became membership. When I mean membership, not just talking about they just show up, but what do? They pay tithe, they pay offering. Oh, come on, somebody, they show up, they at prayer. That is a blessing. I know many pastors who don't get that. So I am grateful. I've been praying to God, said, Lord, send us laborers. We need people to help us in this part of the vineyard. And he's doing just that. And I'm just so grateful to him for doing that. So we're looking forward, like I said, at some point real soon to getting back into that space. Amen. And we don't want to lose those who have been online with us, because we know some of you, we have one family that's joined us from Texas. Amen. And they are members. Amen. I mean, they true members. They show up, they do what they're supposed to do, and they're in Texas. Amen. So, hey, the church is truly without walls and without limitations. So that's why when we go back to the space, amen, we have to do some things a little differently. And that is fine. Different is fine with me. But we want to make sure that we keep those who are far away, connected with us as much as we can and as live as we can. Amen. So we will be having a debrief with that. I will send out an email to that. Those of you all who did, you missed it, and who want to still just give me a contact. My understanding, they're going to have the replays up through Wednesday. The replays will be up through Wednesday. And if you missed it and you want access to it, give me a buzz here or just send me a message and I'll see what I can work out. See if I can give you a code or something that we had and you can go out there and just watch it. I just want you to be blessed. I mean, Brother Mike Todd, just, oh my God, y'all, many of you know Mike Todd. Mike Todd was just, oh my goodness. He started the conference and I mean, he took it to here before anybody else even came. Then obviously Bishop Jakes came behind him and just getting the information that we got in those seminars. And then Stephen Furtick came in and he did, blessed us tremendously. And I mean, my goodness, I'm telling y'all, you missed it. But how about this? They're coming back to Charlotte next year. So, pastor, we try to be, good stewards of our resources. Amen. And because of that, we've already purposed that we're going again next year. Amen. And we've already paid for 10 leaders. Amen. And if we have more, let's talk about it. I want to find out who we got because we do not want to waste resources. Amen. But I know 10 of you all are already going. So first lady and we already down to at least 8 next year. So I want you to go ahead and start booking those dates. The conference dates next year will be March 31st through April the 2nd, I believe it is. It's always like a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday. And they go like half the day on Saturday. It's going to be in Charlotte again. Greensboro, from Charlotte, you all know it's a hop, a skip, a jump for us. It's nowhere. We go there to go shopping, eat pizza, whatever. So do want to remind you of that space. So let's start planning. If you want to go, let me know. We'll take care of the registration as long as we can get these early bird registrations. Amen. And because why? We want our people to grow. We believe in what? Safe House Church, for those who have never been here before, we work on 3 principles here at the Safe House Church because we speak the same language. Oh, my goodness. They talked about that. This is why I always say this every single time I come on. We work in the DEA. What is DEA? DEA? DEA stands for simply this: discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, meaning that we're going to teach you in this space. Empowerment, we're going to empower you. We're going to put you in position. We're going to help you to get the things that you need to go forth to the next level. And then what? We're going to hold you accountable. So going to the conference, that was what? That was empowerment. We've taught you all for years now. Do you see what I'm saying? We've taught you all for years going into this space. So now we put you in a place, what? Empowerment, going to the conference, hearing other people, seeing how these things, hearing what pastors been saying here at the church, how that connects with what we're doing here in this part of the vineyard. How do we go forth as leaders? How do we advance the kingdom? See, all these things, right? They all come together. And then what happens? This last piece, what is the us coming back together? It's accountability. It's about accountability. If you got to go to the space to be accountable, we need to come back and what? Openly share. Because there are going to be some tremendous ideas and things that are going to come out of this time of us sharing. And just to make sure that what? We are all walking around what? On the same accord. That we all understanding things the same way. Amen. So this is it's critical. It's important that we come back. And that's our accountability piece. So welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. And I hope that all is well with you as we go forward on this morning. So I'm just so grateful to all our members of the Safe House Church. Your pastor loves you, and I just appreciate you being in this space. So I don't know about you, but how many of you are ready for the word? I'm not going to belabor the point today. We're going to finish up our series. We're doing the Family Life series. And in the Family Life series, we've had a series of four messages. And remember, this whole year, our whole theme has been this theme of reimagine God. What I mean by reimagine God, that you met God at some point in your life, and you met him in one way. Some of you met him through healing. Some of you met him while you were running from things. Some of you met him in situations where there were life and death situations. And what he did is what he pulled you out of the muck and the mire of the clay. He pulled you out of that stuff. And you know God in that capacity, but you may not know him in other capacities. So what we focus on this year is that we want to know God in all as many spaces as possible. It's kind of like our brain. They say on average, the human person, most people don't use more than about 10% of their brain capacity. Now, if I'm only using 10% of God, it's been clearly amazing already. What if I could access the other 90%? What if you could access that other 90% that you're not touching? It would be phenomenal. So I just want to give a recap to what we've talked about thus far. So in Family Life Series Part 1, we talked about, are you jealous, bro? That was Cain and Abel. We talked about, are you jealous, bro? Remember, all these messages, you can go back to our YouTube page and get them off our YouTube page, which is the Safe House Church. Or you can also go to our podcast, and you can download the podcast. Podcast is doing well. Last time, like I checked, I think we have over 35,000 downloads or something like that. So somebody's listening, amen? Somebody's listening to this podcast. And you can get the podcast at gospelprofessor.podbean.com. And again, it's gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Or you can just go to your iPhone and click on the podcast and put in 10-minute prayer, 10-minute Bible study. You're going to see my wonderful picture pop up there on the side. And you can just subscribe to the podcast, and you can get each one every single week. Then we start the Family Life Series message number 2. We talked about Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. I got it. You got it. Amen. I got it. You got it. What I mean by that is that what we share in this space. We here at the Safe House Church, we try to be an example of that. And I give you case in point. If we had extra things for the conference, we had extra registrations for the conference we won't want to use, we didn't waste them. I got it. You got it. If you need it and you want it, you had it. Amen. We put our, like I said, we put our money where our mouth is. So Esau and Jacob. Then on last week, we talked about Rachel and Leah. And we talked about Rachel and Leah and how they came together, what, to birth a nation, and how these two sisters were working through this together. And today, we want to end this. Today, we want to talk about, you know, I've been very intentional about how we split this up, and that we talked about the two guys and the two sets of guys, and now we're going to talk about another set of women today. Amen. Because the Bible is also full of women who do play a significant part, and they play a significant role. Our women today play a significant role in our churches. I mean, if the truth of the matter be told, if some of us didn't have women in our churches, some of us wouldn't have churches. You know, I do find our ladies to be some of the most loyal group of people that you can find, obviously I want men. I like to think I'm a pastor's pastor. Amen. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, our ladies are there, and we're just grateful for them. And we praise God for them. You know, we cherish them. You know, we don't trample them. We don't run over them, but we work together. Amen. And there's a divine order there. And, you know, they're submissive. Why? Because we're submissive to God. And as long as we're submissive to God, they'll be submissive to us. There is a divine order. As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, she almost has no choice but to do what she wants to do. She doesn't want to carry that burden. I don't want to carry it. Amen. But God is good, and we're grateful for that. Amen. So I'll stay out of that. So then, so today I'm going to talk to you. Family Life Series at the conclusion. We're talking about Family Life Series. My message today, I want to go to you with the Book of Ruth. How many of y'all know the Book of Ruth? Most of the time when people are in the Book of Ruth, they, you know, they always talk about getting married. We always hear about this love story. And the Book of Ruth has so much more than just a love story. The Book of Ruth has so many more things in it than just this love story that most of us just want to talk about. So I want to go to the Book of Ruth, and we want to go to Ruth. I want to go to Ruth, and that's on top of that. We'll put it right here. Oh, maybe I can see it right down my shoulder. Ruth 1 and first chapter. You want to go to verse 14 through 17. Ruth, first chapter, 14 through 17. Put this off to the side here. Ruth, first chapter, verses 14 through 17. Hopefully y'all can see that. Amen. Ruth, the first chapter, verses 14 through 17. All right, let me get to the point here. I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to go to Ruth. Ruth. It's a small book. It's only had like four chapters. And I'm, you know, read this story, and then we're going to, we're not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to give you some pieces here, and I'll give you some background. How many know God is good? God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. And I'm grateful to him. All right, so let's see if we can get our switch going on here today. All right. Okay, it's a little wonky here. I like they always does this in the beginning. And, oh, I forgot, I got to resize the box. Y'all give me 1 second here. There we go. All right, is that better? Yeah, Ruth 14. Let's talk about it. Here you go. And it says this. Hold on, I got something cut out on it. Sorry about that. And it says this. Ruth 1:14, it says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thou God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, as more so also, if aught but death part thee and me. Can we pray for a moment? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up, Lord Jesus, and starting us now right now. We thank you for giving us the active elements. Lord, I ask that you speak through me today, Lord. You let your people hear, Lord Jesus, your word. Lord Jesus, let them not hear me, but they hear you, oh God, and all the truth and the power of your might, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Lord, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone, for we dare not touch that glory. Lord, give you praise. I should do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Amen. So as I transition windows back here, and we go back to our main window here. Uh-oh. Come on. Okay. This is the thing about when you're working this mouse here. Amen. I'm going to transfer back to our window here. I went blank here on my end. Y'all didn't see that. I want to talk to you from the subject today. First of all, how many of y'all been enjoying this Family Life series? You've been enjoying the Family Life series, just type in the text or something, say, hey, I've been enjoying the Family Life series. I want to use for a subject today. I'm looking for my subject line here. And it would be gone. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Amen. 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 I know I changed it. Amen. My subject line. Where are you? Oh, well. It is what it is. I want to use my subject today. If I want to talk to you for a couple of moments today, I want to talk to you about Ruth and Naomi. And the subject is family is spelled loyalty. Say that to somebody. Touch somebody and say, family is spelled loyalty. Let me say it one more time for those all the way in the back of the internet. Family is spelled loyalty. L-O-Y-A-L-T-Y. L-O-Y-A-L-T-Y. Family is spelled loyalty. Ruth. The story of Ruth is a tremendous story, and I encourage each and every one of you, when you get the opportunity, to go back and read this story. It's only four chapters. Typically, as I stated in the beginning, people talk about this story of Ruth and Boaz, how she met this amazing man, and after she had been widowed, and marries him and lives happily ever after. But it's more to the story than just that. It's a lot more to this story than some feel-good marriage story. But this is a story of redemption. This is a story of someone being redeemed. This is a story of our lives. Because many times we find ourselves in turmoil. We find ourselves in all kinds of things and all kinds of matter of circumstances are happening to us. And we are at a point in time that we live now that we're almost willing to give up. We're almost ready to throw in the towel. I can't talk about you, but I know last week I had a pretty, I ain't gonna say it was rough week, but I had a very interesting week. Amen. You know, many of you all know that I leave in several spaces around the country, and I wake up to get emails and say that, you know, my name is in national papers about me talking about some of the things that were going on in our areas down in Elizabeth City. And, you know, those who know I have strong ties to the area. In fact, my family's from the area, but I'm also running an organization down there. And I wake up and I'm getting texts that, you know, my name is on CNN. My tweets have been retweeted, and, you know, the love and the hate, you know, either you love what I said or you hate what I said. But how many of you know that we're in a day and time that God is calling the real leaders to stand up? If it's time, you know, you've been calling yourself a leader, you've been calling yourself a leader in the space. I don't know about you, but it's time for us to stand up. God has called us for such a time as this. It's time for the real leaders to stand up and take accountability. It's the time for the real leaders to stand up and, you know, spare and not spare the rod. Amen. It's time to say something when you see something. Oh, come on. I know it comes with ridicule. Trust me. I've got my share of it this week already. You know, those normal hate speech, hate messages, or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, I've learned this one thing, that you always stand on the facts. And the fact of the matter is that God is still God, and he's still king, and he's still Lord of lords, and he still rules each and everything. And he has the king's heart in his hand, and he can turn away every mode. The fact is that he died on the cross. The fact is that power is in his hand. The fact is that life and death is in his tongue. The fact is that he's still Jehovah Jireh, that he's my provider. He's still Jehovah Nissi, that he fights my battles. He told me to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. He told me to be reminded that I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I wrestle against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, amen, not the low places. So when I see my brother or sister, I'm not fighting against them, but I'm fighting against a spirit. There's a spirit and a prince of the peace of the air that's over this country right now that wants to throw this thing in turmoil, that wants to kill every black man that it sees, amen, that it comes with this strife and this peace. And there's always this fight of rebellion that's in this country right now, but I'm here to tell you that we serve a God that's not going to allow that to happen. That God is a God of peace, and he's a God of love, and he's a God of understanding. He's omnipotent, he's all seeing, he's all knowing, he's almighty, and then what, he's going to redeem his people. I feel my anointing coming on this morning, so maybe you might want to tune out already if you're not ready for this. But God is a God of loyalty, that he has served us as a God of loyalty. I ain't mean to go this way this morning, but God, this is where you're taking us, we're going. But he's a God of loyalty, yes, and we find ourselves. You're going to find out who your true friends are when you're in the battle. You're going to find out who your friends are when you say something that people don't necessarily agree with. But I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, if you're standing on God's truth, if you're standing on the truth that you have, he is more with you than it is with them. Amen. That God has got your back. You got to stand still and know that he's God. You got to stand in your faith and know that what? That heaven and hell may come. I mean, the hell might come all against you, but Lord, that he's raised up a standard against them. That the Spirit of God, what? He has raised up a standard, that he's got you. And what we find here in this story today in Ruth and Naomi, that they understand that family is spelled in loyalty. That what? Loyalty. That what? I'm going to be there no matter what comes. That I am committed to you. We find here that Ruth tells this story of that, you know, that she's committed. What we find, if you go back, is that Naomi had two sons, and Naomi was a widow. Naomi's husband died. And what Naomi finds is that this lady named Ophrah and Ruth marries Naomi's sons. And then oddly enough, they're walking around. They're moving to Moabite. When they're moving to Moabite, they're moving to Moabite to avoid the famine. So they're going to Moabite. Then her sons find these two women, Ruth and Oprah, and they marry. And oddly enough, now the woman's sons die. Oh, now watch this. So you know you had this woman, Naomi. She has a husband. Her husband dies. She takes her two sons with her. Her two sons, they go to another city to survive. And while they're in this other city to survive, the two sons die. So now she tells her daughters that what? Now, when we pick up in verse 1, I mean, chapter 1 and 14 and 17 is where we were, is that what we find here is that what is going on is that the sons, the daughter-in-law, she's about to leave and go back home. And she's telling the daughter-in-laws to stay. She's telling the daughter-in-laws to stay. So this is Naomi talking to Orpah and Ruth and telling them that, you know, they better stay in where they are. And what we find here is that Orpah agrees. She said, you're right, I should stay here because my family's here. My people are here. The odd and weird God changed. And when you're truly connected to someone, when you're truly loyal to a cause or a thing or a situation, that you're willing to go through any and everything that you have to go through to what? To stick to that. Loyalty is spelled, family is spelled in what? Loyalty. So we find here that right now Orpah has made the decision that she's going to go back home. You mean go back home. She's going to stay at home with her guys. Now, one of the things you got to know that what? Orpah was what? Here being delivered from what? These weird guys. They served odd gods and she wanted to go back and serve her guys and serve the thing in the way of life that she knew. So really, she was not connected. She was really in this for what she could get. Because what? They had a couple of things. They had a couple of fields. They had some stuff that they owned. So she was really maybe not in this for the long haul, but she was in this as long as the boys was alive, because she said that what my obligation is only due to the boys, and when the boys are, you know, when my husband is dead, then I'm not obligated to stay here anymore. And Naomi releases her to go back. But watch this, as we so desperately just read here, that Ruth, when she gets the option to go back, Ruth makes a different decision. Ruth tells Naomi that, look, no, I'm not going anywhere. That your God will be my God. That your people will be my people. That your Lord will be my Lord. She's made a commitment that I'm with you come hell or high water. That I'm with you no matter what goes on. That I have decided that I'm going to be with you. And she shows this extreme loyalty to here. So the book starts out here with a lot of tragedy that we see. Three men died. These three men died. Now you have three women who are widows, and they don't know really what they are to do. But now they have to fend for themselves. This is why it's important that most of the time the women are married. Why? Because the husbands are there to take care of them. But now these women are widowed, and they have nobody there to take care of them. And since now they don't have anybody there to take care of them, then now they have to go to work for themselves. So this is why you see throughout the Bible, you see this trend of always taking care of the widows. The Bible talks about taking care of the widows. He said that bringing the tithe into the storehouse that my house might have meat. That meat is what? That meat is there for what? For the priest and the widows. Oh, come on, somebody. That what? We are to take care of those around us. So the priest is there to take care of the widows. So with this, now here they go, and they're traveling back to their land. And as they go back to their land of Bethlehem, they come across the time of they're gleaning grains, basically almost something like a barley or a wheat. And what they find is that you find Ruth, now she's looking for work. And as Ruth goes to look for work, what do we find with Ruth? Ruth walks in and she meets a man named Boaz. And what Boaz does, Boaz is a man and he owns all these fields. Boaz is a man of means. Boaz has wealth. Boaz, the Bible says Boaz as a man of what? Noble character. That noble, he's kind, he's generous, and he shows generosity to what? Immigrants and the poor, according to the Torah. Oh, come on, somebody. See, I don't understand how we sometimes say that we are a Bible-believing country, that we are a Christian country, and we treat immigrants so bad. We treat the poor so bad. We take care of other people in other places before we take care of our own. Come on, somebody. But you said we're a Christian country. That's why I rebuke that statement that, you know what, maybe we have Christian believers, and I do believe that because I'm one. I know you all are, and there are many others. But as a country as a whole, no, because we just take and use the pieces of the Bible that we use for our agenda. It's either all of it, baby, or none of it. You cannot pick and choose what you want out. This is not a tossed salad where you can go in there and pick out all the great tomatoes that you want and pick out all the raisins that you want and then be okay and be satisfied with it. No, that's not what we serve. We serve a God whose totality, meaning that what you either all or nothing. You either all in or not. Are y'all with me this morning? Does that mean that I've dotted every I and crossed every T? No, but I am striving, and you are striving, and we are to what? We are to go forward. Amen? So what? Boaz does what? Boaz is known for taking care of people. And what Boaz does, he has a particular eye for Ruth. I can imagine that Ruth may be, she looked good, but and she was attractive, but she was in mourning clothes. Do you not know that women at that time could wear things that could tell them that they were mourning? Just like you and I, we wear our rings. You know, I wear my ring as a symbol of my relationship with my wife, that we are married, that I've been spoken for, that I'm a part of that space with her. Are y'all with me? And that's a symbol that, so even then, they would wear things. There were certain clothes that they would wear, what we call mourning clothes. And these clothes would be that she is mourning and that she's not available right now because she's in a period of mourning. So here, what does he do? He's kind to her. So he gives her feels. He makes her way easier. How many of you know that when God has a purpose for you, when God has a plan for you, that he can make your way easier? I'm here to tell you that some of you have been beating your head up against the wall. Some of you have been struggling with some things. And you've been like, Lord, why can I not get here? Lord, why do it seem like I'm having such a hard time here? I'm here to tell you today when God makes it, the Bible said that my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So if the burden is heavy, that means it must not be yours to carry. It must not be the way you go. That what? He said the steps of a good man are ordered by God. So that means what? That he will order what? A way, that he will order a way for us, that he will have a path that will be set for us. Not that everything will be easy, but you will find yourself progressing down the path of righteousness. You'll find yourself progressing down the path toward perfection. You'll find yourself progressing down the paths to being holy and sanctification that God has called us to be. So now you find here that what he made a way for Ruth. So Ruth here now has food. She's gleaming for her and Naomi. And Naomi, she goes back and she tells Naomi that I met a man named Boaz. And immediately the Bible tells us that Naomi got excited because she knew Boaz was a relative. How many of you know that family still matters? And Boaz was a relative, a distant relative, but that meant that he was what? Available, and that Boaz would be their redeemer. That God would use Boaz to what? Redeem her. That was a possibility. How many of you know that when the Bible says it like this, when faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. See, you had Naomi here that was now what? And desolate. She was, you know, bitter. She was to the point that she had given up. She didn't know what they were going to do. She didn't know if any more of her family exists, but now to find that Boaz is alive and she brings Ruth in there, that there's a possibility that her family is going to live again. That it's a possibility that her family is going to go forth. There's a possibility that her family is going to the next level. So now she tells Ruth that you can get out of your mourning clothes. Hey, man, that it's time to prepare yourself to be married. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you today, somebody, it's time to get out of your mourning clothes. It's time to prepare yourself for the next level in God. It's time for you. You mourn long enough. That dad, I understand dad is dead. The dad is gone, but God has called you. That which dad has left to be deposited in you. I understand mom is gone, but God has left that thing in deposited inside you. I understand brother and sister is gone, but God has left that thing deposited inside of you. Why? So that you can take it to the next level. That you are here for a reason. That he has not left you. That he's left you here so that you can complete the work. That we know God as the redeemer of all. That we know he's the redeemer of all. That he has it all in his hand. And that he's been working this thing. And he's been massaging you for a time such as this, because he knew that if they stayed around, that you would look to them. But he wants you to look to the hills from which your help comes. That Jehovah Jireh is your provider. That Jehovah Nissi that's going to fight your battles. That it is God who's opening up the doors. That he opens up a door and he closes a door. That what if promotion is coming to you, that doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, or the south, but promotion comes from God. So now, brothers and sisters, it's time to get out of your mourning clothes. It's time to go to the fields and glean that which you let them know that you are available. Oh, yeah. So now we find that Ruth goes here to the fields, and she goes to the fields and show them that what she's available. She changes her clothes. Some of you need to change the clothes you wear. Some of you have been dressing bummy. Some of you need to look the part of success. You know, I dress and wear a suit every single day. I wear a suit here intentionally. Why? Because I want people to understand that I'm about business. Some people say it ain't about the clothes, and I know it's not about the clothes, but I know what? When I wear these clothes, I feel a little bit better. When I wear these clothes, I want to act a little bit better. When I wear these clothes, I want to talk a little bit better. I want to, you know, walk in the space a little bit better. But it's just something about dressing for success. It's something about walking into that space. It's something about going into where God has had you be. You cannot go. People will not take you seriously if you go into certain spaces. You have to earn the right to be heard. And by Ruth changing her clothes. Now watch this. Ruth just changes her clothes and she gets a husband. Are y'all with me today? Ruth just changes her clothes and she gets a husband. So the Bible says what? She showed herself to be available. Why? She made herself available by what she wore. See, some of you are saying that you're not available. See, you're telling God, look, God, I serve you, but your actions are saying I'm not available. You're saying, God, I want to be blessed, but what you're wearing is saying that you're not available. What are you wearing? Are you wearing those clothes of righteousness? Are you wearing it, as they tell us in Ephesians, are you wearing the breastplate? Are you putting on God's helmet? Are you carrying his sword and his shield? What are you wearing? Have you put on the gospel sandals so that your feet are prepared? What are you wearing? So now the Bible said that Ruth goes to the fields and she's working in the fields. And now Boaz notices her a little differently now because he noticed that what Ruth is very intentional about her action. She goes and she tells Boaz, hey, Boaz, I want you to marry me. I need you to marry me. Why? Because I believe that you are the redeemer to our family. I believe that you're the redeemer to Naomi, that you are the redeemer to this situation. So what does Boaz do? Immediately Boaz goes, what? And he agrees. See, some of you don't have what you need because you won't ask anybody. You're walking in pride. You're so prideful that you're scared to ask anybody for anything. God has put us here to be what? Help us of one another. If I got it, I've already told you, you got it. If you need it and I have it, you got it. We're not going to be abused in this space. We're not crazy, but we understand one thing, that what God here is doing what? He's opening up some doors here through relationship, access, favor. God has favored Ruth. That what Boaz favored her in the fields. He gave her easy fields to glean. He gave her easy work to do. He made her wheat easy to get. Do you not know that God can favor you around people that it can make things easier for you? Do you not know that God can favor you to a point that God will open up the door that things will be, ways will come a little bit easier for you? And when you have some people who can be jealous of the space, absolutely. But I tell them all the time, until you did what I did, or if you've gone what I've gone, if you've gone what I've gone through, then we can have that conversation. Because some of you have been through some things. Some of you have battled some things. Some of you have had some tests. Some of you have had some trials. Some of you have had some morning nights. But you know that God, what? He made it all right in the morning. That this thing just doesn't come for free. This thing is just doesn't come for free. It's something that you go through. It's a process. So now we find what? That now Ruth is what? She's with Boaz. And what does Boaz do? Boaz goes in and he tells her, hey, look, I'm going to marry you. But he finds out that there's someone else in the picture. How many of you know? Somebody tap somebody on the shoulder and say, somebody else in the picture. Or write a check, somebody else in the picture. How many of you know, as soon as you get ready to make your move, as soon as you've decided, hey, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to go for, this is how I'm going to, pray, this is what I'm made up my mind, that it's always another person in the picture. There's always something. So here now we find that what? There's another person here who has the right to claim for her to be married to him. And as we go through, the Bible says that he realizes that he has to marry Ruth to get this inheritance. And when he realizes that he has to marry Ruth to get the inheritance, what does he do? He backs away. He exercises the option that, what, I do not want her. Now, at this time, what it happens is, look, this man doesn't know the incredible character of Ruth. He doesn't know, but see, Boaz had been watching Ruth work in the fields. Boaz knows the story of Ruth. Boaz knows that Ruth has spent time with her mother-in-law, but she could have went home and nobody would have fault her. She could have went back with her people and served
the weird gods that they served, and nobody would have fault her. She could have stayed in the space she was in, and nobody would have blamed her. She could have stayed doing what she was doing, and nobody would have said a word. She could have bowed out, and everybody was like, okay, that was okay, because that's how things are done. But what did she do? She did not do any of those things. She said that I'm clinging to you, that I believe my blessing is through you, that I'm going to hold on, and I know it looks rough right now, and I don't know what this is going to bring, but I know what, that if you go down, I'm going to go down. If you're going to die, I'm going to die, that I'm going to be right there with you through the thick and thin. I'm going to be right there with you. How many of you know, can you find a person that would be right there with you through the thick and thin? I say family is spelled loyalty. Family is spelled loyalty. So then we find here now what Ruth is at a point that she is being overlooked by the person in between there. How many of you sometimes find yourself in a space that you seem like, Lord, I keep getting overlooked. It doesn't seem, no matter what I do, Lord, and I walk in integrity. Lord, that I walk, Lord Jesus, before you, Lord Jesus, that I'm sacrificial before you, Lord Jesus. I'm obedient, oh God. And Lord, every time it seems like it's time for me to get a promotion, every time it seems like it's time for me, Lord Jesus, to go to the next level, every time it seems like for me to go to the next situation, oh God, there I am being overlooked yet again. There I am, Lord, seem like that they just got something else going on, Lord, and overlooked and overlooked. At some point, you become weary. But the Bible tells us, hey, look, do not be weary in well-doing. For what? That weeping may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. So even in this weariness, I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Even in this weariness, I know you've been overlooked. I know it seems like they've gone everywhere and each everywhere to do what they want to do, that they want you outside the space because what? Maybe they're jealous of you, or maybe they got some kind of malice against you, or maybe they just don't see the worth. Or, but even better yet, maybe God has shielded from them so that they would not spoil what's in you. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, God shield what's in us so others would not spoil what they see. Do you not know that you can have something that's good and others waste it? Do you not know that you can bring a tremendous talent and thing to the table and people don't know what to do with it and they waste it? And I believe that God sometimes, brothers and sisters, that he intentionally hides us. He intentionally don't let them see you. You know what God has put in you. You know what you've been fighting. You know what you're going for. But they do not see it. Why? Because God has allowed their eyes to be blind to the fact. Why? Because he does not want you there. He has you there for a reason, but not that reason. Y'all hear me? He has you there for a reason, but not that reason. See, some of you are thinking it's this when it's really that. And some of you saying it's that when it's really this. He has you there for pruning, but not for you to bear the fruit there. See, God can use people in our lives to prune us. And see, God is using these situations. You got to remember, you had a situation here that started out bad. You had a situation here where the sons are dead. The women are taking care of themselves. They don't know how they're going to make it. Now they're over here, they're working, and they're eating out of the fields and all this stuff. And now what? They find what they believe to be the Redeemer. Do y'all not know God is what? Our ultimate Redeemer, Jesus Christ. See, this story mimics this in a lot of ways. There's a lot of parallels in this story according to in that. But it's a beautiful theologically written story. And you find now that what? Ruth, who's been overlooked. Ruth, though, who's been loyal to a fault. I'm here to tell you all today, trust God that loyalty pays off. I know some of you have been loyal. Some of you have been loyal to your pastors. Some of you have been loyal to your local congregation. Some of you have been loyal to your jobs. But I want to know, how many of you have been loyal to God? Yes, I get it. Loyalty is good. But have you been loyal to him? Have you been faithful to God in all? Have you done what he's asked you to do? Have you said what he's asked you to say? Have you gone where he's asked you to go? Have you prayed what he's told you to pray? How loyal are you? So then we find here that what now, even though she's been overlooked, Boaz, a man of noble character, he doesn't overlook her. Why? Because character knows character. You know, they say real knows real. Holy Ghost knows Holy Ghost. Sanctified knows sanctified. This is why we pray daily, what, for discernment? Because the discernment is key so that what, we'll be able to walk into that space and know, oh, this is where I should be and this is where I shouldn't be. This is what I should be saying. This is what I shouldn't be saying. That we are know and be able to walk into those spaces and know that what? God, you got us. You got us. All right, now watch this. So now what? Ruth goes ahead and she marries Boaz. And now what? Naomi's family is saved. Naomi, the one who didn't have him in the beginning, those who had lost, all these things come together. Now watch this. Now this story is not just about Naomi's family being saved and the incredible character and loyalty of Ruth and the incredible character and loyalty of Boaz. But watch this. Through all these things, God always has a plan. And the truth of the fact is that Ruth and Boaz have a son. This son's name is Obed. Obed, O-B-E-D, Obed. And Obed, we come to learn later on, has a son named Jesse. And that son named Jesse has a son named David. Yeah, that David. That Goliath slaying David. That praising in front of God David. That same David, the Lion of Judah David, from the tribe of Judah David. Yes, that same David with 42 generations, and we are finding the book of Matthew, that lineage of Jesus Christ, that David that we find Jesus Christ comes right here through Obed, through the relationship of Boaz and Ruth. That she was gleaning in the fields, a widower, but was loyal. And through her loins, God himself comes to the earth. Here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, be loyal. Family is loyalty. Be loyal. Be loyal to God. I know sometimes people treat you bad. They've done things and they've said things. They've treated you all kinds of stuff. They overlooked you, and it's painful. It hurts. It hurts when you're trying to help people and you know you're helping them and you're trying to do the right thing for the right reason. It hurts. It hurts to be used and abused. It hurts. But I'm here to tell you today that God has a plan for you, that he's not forgotten you. Yeah, he's not forgotten you. And just like he had a plan that Obed was coming through Boaz and Ruth, all the way to he was going to have a grandson named David, all the way to a son named Jesus that was going to come and be the great redeemer of the entire world, I'm sure he has a plan for you. Notice that family is loyalty. Be loyal to him. And I guarantee you, they'll be loyalty to you. So as you find this whole book of Ruth is a story of what? Loyalty. Of how God starts out one way and then what he redeems them and brings them full circle so that he can come through them. Will you allow him to use you today? Will you allow him to use you? Let's pray. Lord, hand the fire, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just say thank you. Lord, I ask that your words, Lord, on this day, Lord, have gone forth, Lord, that they be on the hearts and minds of the believers, Lord, like only you can. Touch them, oh God. Let them go back and read this story of Ruth, Lord Jesus, how you blessed her with Boaz, Lord, how you've taken her to the next level, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord, for our God, Lord, you be your God. Lord, that our people be your people, Lord Jesus, and our Lord will be your Lord, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. Forgive us all our sins, those known and unknown to us. Help us to go forward in the powerful name of Jesus. Bless us throughout the whole week. Keep us, Lord Jesus, discernment. Keep us in perfect peace. Take us down the road safely. Bring us back safely. And as you leave things to others, in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you blessed? I'm done. How many of you been blessed and highly favored? I hope that you found this family life series to be a tremendous blessing to you and your family. Amen. Amen. At this time, we ask that we'll go into our offering part of this service. Amen. If you found that this to be a blessing to you, I ask that you would be so kind to bless and tithes and offering. Everything that comes in here is used to the help this church to grow forward. Amen. That you know we don't put anything in our pocket, but we just use this to help us to do the things that God has called us to do and to go in the places that God has called us to go. If you would, if you would like to do a money order, you go to Find Your Fish, right? It's Find Your Fish Ministries. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina. That's 27358. Again, that's Find Your Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Or you can do Cash App at Safe House Church, GSO. Again, at Safe House Church GSO, you see a little SH symbol there. Or you can do PayPal, paypal.me/ministry A. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry A. God bless you all. I love you all. God's been so good to us that he's been loved to us that we have been to ourselves. Amen. We ask that also you keep in mind on this week, we have the women's women at the well. Amen. The women at the well is just a tremendous space for all the women of the Safe House Church and others. This is a open space to any and everybody. Amen. You can come on in here and just go to our website, www.safehousechurchdso.com/women. And they will send you a link and there'll be a private space there that the ladies gather and they just have some fellowship and some Bible study and some talks and some women talk. Amen. The Bible said, let the younger women teach the older women. Amen. And this is that space. Amen. Our men's locker room is still being right now. That's been suspended until further notice. Amen. We're having some issues there. We have to move out a thing or two, but it's all good. But God is good and it's worthy to be praised. I hope that you found this today to be a tremendous blessing to you on today. God bless you. I love you all. Remember, we have prayer every day, Monday through Friday. If you would like to click on that prayer, just go to our webpage, www.safehousechurchgso.com. Again, that's safehousechurchgso.com. And when you'll find these, there's a link there for live Bible study. That same Zoom link that's used for Bible study is also used for prayer. We're there every morning at 6 a.m. We pray from 6 a.m. to about 6:30. Again, 6 a.m. to 6:30. God is doing some things. He's moving some things. He's answering some doors. He's answering prayers. He's opening doors. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. We've heard testimony after testimony. We have some COVID testimonies where God has healed people. And we